Live from Bismarck, we're at the 7th Annual Great Plains Empower North Dakota Energy Conference. And sitting with us right now is the governor of the great state of North Dakota, Governor Jack Dalrymple. Governor Dalrymple, good to have you on News and Views.
You bet, Joel. Good to be here.
Been a little busy, to say the least.
There's a lot going on in North Dakota. There's no doubt about that.
It's a better day to be governor than to be pulling beet trucks through a soggy field. Down at Morton last night, 2.9 inches of rain.
Yeah, it's let's not talk about the rainfall problems, okay? I mean, you know,
we were talking about drought one time when you and I talked.
I got a lot of beans in the field yet, and I just hate it when I see this wet spell starting out in the middle of October.
And you know what that means potentially for the spring as well. The conference today, you are one of the sponsors of the conference today. You spoke to the group. Your message to them was what?
Well, we basically are talking about, you know, the energy industry as a whole, and I think that's a good thing to do once in a while, because we normally get stuck talking about oil and gas only these days, because that is obviously the hot topic. But there are so many other aspects to our energy production in North Dakota, and it was good to talk about what that means to our state. I spent a lot of time talking to them also, though, since we have some, you know, national participants here, that, you know, energy is not the whole story to North Dakota's economy. And I spent a little time talking about, you know, how things are going very well in the Red River Valley, and we've got some great manufacturing going on, and we've got some outstanding technology going on. Agriculture, of course, you know is doing well. So, you know, it's important to have a perspective that it takes more than just a high price of oil to make this happen.
You and John Hovind for years were a team. You truly were. When he was governor and you were lieutenant governor, and then you came in after he had run for the Senate. Are you talking to him these days? I mean, what is it? Do you call him and say, hey, my government's working. How about yours?
It's kind of a touchy subject at the moment, Joel. So we try not to get too direct about that. But, you know, everybody is distressed by, you know, what they see in Washington, including me. Let's face it, it couldn't really look much worse in terms of their ability to deal with the issues. But I will say, thank goodness, you know, we have the likes of John Hovind and Heidi Heitkamp down there. If they would just delegate the thing to John and Heidi and put them in a room together, yeah, I know they could come out with a very good,
I believe that too,
compromise on the whole thing. But that's just not the way the system works.
No, it isn't. Where it matters the most to you, and I know that you've spoken to Governor Dugard and others. I mean, you look at what's happened in Western South Dakota. It's a catastrophe. And some of that hit close to home for you, Western North Dakota. Not as bad as South Dakota, I recognize. But, you know, we need a farm bill, Governor. We need to at least for farmers to know the rules of the game.
You know, I'm still hopeful, you know, about the farm bill situation. It's been completely blown out of the water by all this activity on the budget the last couple of weeks. But if we could just clear the deck and, you know, get the budget thing off the table just for a little while, I think the farm bill thing could move. So I really have not given up hope on that.
Governor, do you, if you were there and if you were advising members that are there, do you believe that keeping the nutrition programs as part of the farm bill is good policy or not?
Oh, I do. That goes back an awful long ways. And, you know, we're talking about food and food supply here. And, you know, agriculture, you know, is all about food for the nation. You know, this is all tied together, and, you know, our forestry and all that is too. So that's the way it's always been and the way it should be. You have to have a comprehensive policy on food production. I just can't believe that they've managed to paint themselves into the corner they got right now.
Governor, I want to take you to Tioga. It's a situation I know many on your staff and the people that work for you are working with. Where are we at? What's the situation on the ground with the oil spill in the rural Tioga area?
Well, it's a big concern to me. I mean, you know, when I heard the number of the revised assessment of the amount of the spill, 20,000 barrels, it just about knocked me off my chair. I mean, that is, you know, seems to me to be like a huge amount of oil. And it raises a lot of questions right away about, you know, how does this happen, and how does the whole thing work? And I think we've all learned a lot about it, you know, in the last week or so about, you know, how all this works. And I think there's room for improvement. I mean, anytime you have an incident involving emergency management, I think you learn from it. And we're going to learn a lot from this incident. And I think we are going to do some things differently.
Did the health department notify you in a timely fashion?
Well, they believe that they did because they did not know the expanded assessment on the spill themselves until a day before they, you know, informed our office. I think there's questions, though, about why that is. And originally they thought the spill was 750 barrels. An environmental consultant was brought in to do the assessment on, like, you know, how extensive the spill was. That took a long time. And I got some real questions about, like, why that is and why you can't get an sort of a interim status report on their work rather than having to wait till it's all done and then there's a sort of a final number that they come up with. Surely, along the way, they must have realized, you know, it was much bigger than originally thought.
Have you spoken to Dave Glad about this personally?
Yes, I have. And, you know, I think that some changes are going to come out of this. Hate to get too deep into the weeds in it, but the whole orientation from the health department standpoint is the public safety and the health of the public. And if they feel that there's not a threat, which actually, you know, there wasn't, and they did the right things, they responded quickly, and they did make a good assessment that it was not damaging any water or affecting the public, that's their main thing. Then the actual volume of oil is sort of secondary to them. And I'm saying to Dave Glott, you know, Dave, there's a point at which a threshold is reached where I'd like to know about how many barrels it was, even if you're telling me it didn't impact the environment.
I worked with Dave Glott, as you know, on many projects, you know, back in his days at the health department. Just found him to be just an incredible professional. So I know what you're getting at. You're not picking at Dave as much as saying, you know, this is the process. But in the end, what concerns me the most, Governor, is what has to concern you. You know, we've worked around mechanical things all our lives. You know, if this pipeline busted because of corrosion, which is something that I've heard through the stories, I'm concerned about the whole pipeline.
Well, that's the other big question, of course. And there is an executive from Tesoro Logistics is coming up here to meet with me and go over it. You know, why does a pipeline... why is a pipeline able to lose that much oil before people find out about it? I always assumed that there were, you know, excellent pressure sensors and other sensors on these pipelines. Well, it turns out that actually not necessarily. It's all under a federal agency called the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration, and they actually don't require all of that equipment unless the pipeline passes through water sources or through communities. Well, that's kind of funny. You know, so like open country is less important.
And we are open country.
We're open country.
So as a state, should we be requiring that?
Well, I think we definitely got to consider that. We're relying on federal rules on these pipelines. And, you know, this incident is uncovering the fact that maybe we don't agree with those rules. Maybe they should be a little bit more stringent. The other question is, why wouldn't Tesoro consider it a good investment anyhow?
Yeah, this
even
is going to cost them far beyond even the lost oil.
I hate to tell you, Tesoro Logistics is going to be very, very sorry that this happened, more so than anybody. Why didn't they have their own you know, electronic sensors on that pipeline?
Are you comfortable right now, Governor Dalrymple, that that this is not going to reach a water supply?
That is absolutely what I'm being told. They're confident about that, although I do hedge on that a little bit because I know that as time goes by, Sometimes, you know, the answer can change on that.
Well, I don't blame you for hedging. I don't know how. I don't know how you do. You can guarantee it. The upside is you had that clay liner below it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the upside. And in speaking to the farmer whose land was affected by all this, you know, there just seemed to be that North Dakota kind of common sense to his approach to this, saying, look, you know, they're acknowledging it, that they're not running. I mean, he wasn't in that ranting and raving like I'm afraid I would have been. You know, I'd be very, very concerned about my water supply there right now.
Now, it's a shock, frankly, to me that, you know, an incident that big could even happen in this day and age. So we got a lot of questions that need answering.
Governor, any word yet on what you're going to do with the tax commissioner? Do you know who you're going to appoint there?
I don't.
You sure you don't want to break it on statewide radio right now?
Well, you know, that'd be fun, but unfortunately I don't have a name for you today.
How about the Supreme Court position?
Also another very important appointment. I was very happy to see 12 quality people step up and say, I'd like to be that person. And it's nice to have a choice.
How big, when it comes to that Supreme Court decision, is it going to be that they have courtroom experience to you?
Well, that's certainly, you know, a plus on the ledger. Let me put it that way.
I know that Mary Maring, the one being replaced, said that that was something she really encouraged you to look at.
It's always a plus on the ledger, but we have this judicial nominating committee, a group of very experienced, very smart people in the legal area, and they really review the candidates carefully, and then I get some good recommendations from them.
Governor, in the fall of 2014, will you vote to put higher education in your camp rather than through the State Board of Higher Education?
I don't know. You know,
I've made up my mind, I think, and the answer is no. I think you still need a Board of Higher Education. I think that's what my gut's telling me, and I'm really curious what you think.
Well, my big question, and I'm going to, you know, do some more study on this and really, you know, think carefully about it. But my big question is, you know, would it be an improvement over what we have? Yes, what we have, you know, is not perfect. You know, nothing is. But if you replace a board of 8 people with a board of 3 people, you know, why is that better?
But the difference is those 3 people directly would answer to you now, versus once these people are appointed to the state board, you could make an argument they don't answer to you.
Well, and then you have to ask the question, you know, is it good to have a situation where the governor can fire all of higher ed anytime he feels like it?
There's a reason we had the board in the first place, right?
you got to go back a ways.
Yeah, exactly.
But it did happen, and it was a Castleton governor at the time.
Yep.
And he got a little carried away, got rid of a bunch of presidents, and that's when it all began.
Governor, always good to talk to you. Thanks for taking the time.
Same here.
Governor Jack Dalrymple on News and Views.